And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio, and you have our host, Lori Houston, and our co-host this evening, Scott Thomas. And we are very honored to have Dr. Williams here, who is going to give us a New Year's message, and we're going to discuss some of the things that are going to be happening this year. But it's a great blessing and a great honor to have you here this evening, Dr. Williams.
Thank you very much.
So let's talk a little bit about the year 2008, because this is going to be a very interesting year. In numerology, 2008 becomes a 10 and then a 1, which means it's a 1 year. 1 is the number of God, new beginnings, transitions. It has fabulous opportunities that are possible. And with that, there's also fear because of the unknown and the forced of new beginnings. Although, you know, it's always our perspective and what we see with that perspective and how a new beginning is approached. And so there's opportunities for personal growth, great strength, and yet there are going to be transitions that can definitely upset the apple cart, but it can also bring great joy and happiness and things that we've longed for. Also, because the year ends with an eight, the eight is all about the number of abundance and is usually associated with money, but it can bring important things together and consolidate and bring in more grounded. So it's a very exciting year.
Well, that's the end of the show then. We've done it all.
So tell us a little bit, I guess, about what that New Year's message would be.
Well, it's interesting enough here because there used to be saying the worst of times and the good of the best of times. And the sense we're sort of entering in the best of times, depending what we as individuals are going to do with our lives.
Right.
You know, we speak about the heart being the hub of the universe. Well, the heart is the hub of the universe, and we continuously forget to further cultivate the heart. When we don't plant proper seeds within the heart, and I certainly speak about the spiritual heart, then we don't experience the abundance in which we choose. We continuously operate out of fear. So the best of times is a matter of being very conscious in what changes are you going to implement that allows you to see the seeds turn into a great orchard. And if you don't know where you're going, and if you're not quite sure whom, what, when, and where, then you are going to face a lot of confusion in 2008.
Right.
But as an individual, because it is a new, because it is a one, if you plant the seeds of compassion and great strength and great knowledge. So when we plant a seed can be about compassion. It can be about monetary. It can be about compassion. It can be about patience. It can be about change that we don't know how to bring that change about. But even if we just plant a seed of I'm not quite sure how to deal with my son differently. But all that I do know is that I do need to plant a seed because the behavior in which I have been a part of or coexisted with my son no longer is acceptable. Or my relationship is needing to certainly shift to a greater expansion to what I've experienced because so far this has not brought me the fruits in which I choose to experience. So 2008 is about consciousness. 2008 is about making choices. 2008 is about individuality. 2008 is about humanity coming together as a collective, becoming aware of what's happening to the world. If as an individual we can't make individual decisions or we are not aware of our individual emotions, then how can we as a society make greater choices and as a world make greater choices? We have experienced such tragedy that keeps being swept underneath the carpet in 2007 and particularly in 2006 with this war that has been going on and many other tragedies that have been going on. Well, 2008 certainly is going to have a lot of disturbances by itself. But it isn't so much the disturbances in which I want to certainly concentrate on. I want to talk about how people as individuals change the world. The world doesn't just change because a bunch of people, in a sense, make a decision. The world changes because people individually make conscious decisions and make conscious choices. And as much as you might live in your little town, no matter where that might be, or live in a large city and thinking, listen, how does my individual choice make a difference to the world? But in actuality, your choice does make a choice. It does make a difference. And so 2008 is about consciousness. It's about entering the living heart. It is about finding peace. It is about choosing peace. It is about choosing compassion. 2008 is about ending the chaos. 2008 is about making the world responsible for its actions. 2008, it's where people wake up and simply say, war is not the answer to our liberation. That compassion is towards our liberation. Now, one can't say between two countries that are at war and simply say, listen, you're needing to be compassionate. But it's the countries that surround them that simply say, this is no longer acceptable. What do we tolerate as a society? Do we tolerate this behavior? Or do we come towards an end? Do we simply say, we've done this for centuries, and for centuries we fought for religion, we fought for rights, we fought for land, we fought for all kinds of things. And really the question is, who is really benefiting from this experience?
So how does an individual then do that? How does an individual stop this?
Right. So as a culture, we have lost, and it sounds sort of strange, we operate out of fear instead of operating from a place of individual choice. And that sounds really quite strange, because if you say to any person, no, I know what I want, and yet there seems to be the same spot in which they get stuck. Mm-hmm. So to back up for a little bit, meditation is the only way in which you can experience a direct experience of the inner self. A part of the brain, a part of the aspect of the brain, is what's called the reptile brain. And this part of the brain is what would bring us an instinctive way of survival, an organic way, a true way. So in a sense, it is a very primitive aspect of the brain that tells us between what is right and what is wrong. But over the centuries, society has been so influenced by materialism and influenced by everything around us that we operate, we've learned, instead of operating out of a place where a sense of deep peace and a deep enjoyment and deep laughter and deep joy would be the foundation, we've experienced nervousness. We've experienced uncertainty. We have experienced doubt. So in a sense, as a culture, there are more individuals living from a place of fear or dread or depression or concern or unhappiness instead of the foundation of the core of our life being a deeply, deeply, deeply nurturing, intimate, caring, loving environment to be. So where did we lose this overall connection? Our media has been a part of that. Mm-hmm. Our culture has been a part of that. How the media represents things. So we're continuously being fed. And so the part of our brain, which is called the reptile brain or the reptilian brain, in a sense, isn't functioning by simply saying, hey, that's not right for me. Hey, I'm not tolerating that. Hey, that isn't correct. Hey, that is not honest. Hey, I don't choose that. Hey, I don't believe in that. Hey, why is my country doing that? So in a sense, we've become a very passive culture that have learned to swallow many of the world events, thinking that we as an individual don't make a difference. This is what 2008 is about. We're individuals, not because everyone needs to rebel outwardly by simply saying, and certainly that will happen in 2008, because particularly in the United States, there is going to be a tremendous movement where the citizens within the United States are going to be very verbal with what they choose to accept from their government compared to what has happened in the past. So in a sense, that barrier of silence, that barrier of fear, that barrier of judgment, if you speak out, you're not a true American. If you stand up for your rights, then you are not believing in your country. So there is this over false sense that if you were to speak up, you're doing something wrong. This part of the reptilian brain is what I speak about, where corporations are going to change, countries are going to change. So what are you going to find? That you're going to find individuals that are going to say no more. There are going to be individuals that are going to start with relationships in their own lives that are simply saying no more. Or, you know what, this isn't enough, I choose more. or people within jobs simply saying, you know what, I need to materialize my own job, or I'm looking for a different job. People on individual levels in 2008 are going to question, where am I going? What am I doing? And these two basic fundamental questions are going to re-arise within them over and over. Now, we don't know where we're going unless we are deeply seated within the heart. We don't know what we want unless we're deeply seated within the heart, and that only happens through meditation. So in a sense, there is an individual awakening within humanity on an individual level that is going to take place in 2008. Individuals that do not find themselves contemplating the basic question of who am I, where am I going, and find themselves not contemplating these two questions, are going to find they're going to be bumping up against a lot of resistance, because there is already a shift in the Canadian culture, in the American culture, where people are beginning to no longer being satisfied, and the silence of their dissatisfaction is going to lift. 2008 is going to be records in the Canadian stock market. Yet, simultaneously, there is going to be great uproar in the American stock market. So, in a sense, there is a balancing of 2008. If we look at 2008, it is about a new presidency coming into the White House in the United States. The person whom is going to take this job is a person that has much to correct and to establish many new beginnings and to restore the fundamental value of the Americans. Now, in one sense, that is a tremendous job to undertake. But for a person to go into presidency, whom not only is going to come and bring this country to an end as far as the war is concerned, this presidency is also, in a sense, is going to have to restore what do Americans believe in. What is their fundamental belief system? What do they stand for? What is the foundation of the United States government? So it is no longer just a matter of where previously a president could come into power and lead a country through its cycle. But more than ever, people are looking for a leader, but not as a false sense of leadership. They're looking at how are you going to restore the value and everything that is good about the United States and reinforce this. So in a sense, we're at a very exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are speaking about a country coming out of power, or a president coming out of power.
Mm-hmm.
I also would say that probably the worst president that has ever existed in history. And that is not something I'm sure that I can get unplugged by or unplugged by at this particular point. But he has certainly not done what is in the best interest of America, or the best interest of the world.
At least in getting us into our hearts.
Absolutely. Mm. So you could say, has he made a mistake? Or has he awakened individuals? Mm-hmm. Has he ruined the economy? Well, I certainly would say that he has a ruined economy. But has he made individuals think? Yes, absolutely. Are people beginning to question where they're wanting and what they're looking for? Absolutely. Are America looking not just based upon materialism, but they literally had to look very deeply, am I wanting to be part of this war? So in a sense, war has existed for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
But nowhere along the line has a culture collectively looked at each other and individually and simply saying, do we believe this? And that has never happened. So when we talk about 2008, 2008 is about returning to the heart. Who am I? Where am I going? And what am I doing? And if you are not aware of what seeds you're wanting to plant, then you're not going to experience the orchard that you would literally be looking for.
So it's available to us all.
Absolutely. So what does that mean? It means that if I choose greater intimacy in my life, then my intent is to hold the vision of a seed that is planted within my heart. And that seed is going to sprout and change the dynamics of my relationship. This is what's called the living pulsating heart. If I am a person whom is dissatisfied with my job, may I have the courage or the strength or the know-how or the ability or the strength to find change, and that I plant that seed within my heart and let that seed unfold and become an orchard. So change does not happen. Only consciousness happens when we develop it. So if I want to create change, it doesn't happen unless I develop the awareness. If I contemplate something and contemplate something and contemplate something, eventually I begin to develop the consciousness or the awareness surrounding it. If I complain something and I complain over and over and over, then I am not creating change because I am stuck within the problem. So when I seek change and meditate and focus and contemplate on what that is or what would that need to be, eventually I will get the seed or the awareness or the consciousness so change can come my way.
You may have just answered my question. You've talked about planting the seed. I was going to ask you how you plant the seed in the heart, but is that primarily through meditation, through contemplation?
It is through contemplation.
What's the difference between contemplation? Like, when is it your mind getting involved, and when is it from your heart? Like, what is contemplation when you're meditating?
The intellect, so we have a brain, and our intellect continuously interferes. That's why we get the same answers over and over. So, well, I can't do this because of that. I can't do this because of this. I can't do this because of that. So, in a sense, the brain continuously creates excuses.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, it is also about the death of the ego, 2008. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. So in a sense, the ego continuously interrupts. And so we never receive the resolution or the answer. When the heart gives us an answer, it is not an intellectual answer. So in a sense, it isn't, I need to do the following. So it is not a very linear ABC structured answer. It is a feeling. So when you hear something again for the 100th time and finally you go, ah, that is consciousness. That is a shift. That is, I'm not going to do this any longer. So it's like an alcoholic who says, I'm not going to drink, yet every time he does. And eventually he develops the awareness or the consciousness, hopefully, that he finds and awakens with a strength that is an inner silence, an inner constitution, an inner strength that he's never quite found before, yet he's spoken about it 1,000 times, and within that silence he says, I'm going to quit drinking. So, when we contemplate, that does not mean we let our mind just wander rampantly, or we let our mind wander endlessly, because we're not getting any different answers than what we've gotten before. But if I were just to hold the image of, I need to let go of my son, I can no longer be the enabler of my son, or I no longer can become the enabler of my wife, or the enabler of my daughter, or it doesn't really matter what the circumstances are. If I were to really contemplate that within my being, and that doesn't mean I'm endlessly, competitively, reptiliously thinking about it. So it is not a reptilious motion where we're continuously repeating it over and over and over. In actually, I'm just holding the image that I am an enabler, or that I dislike my job, but somehow I've not been able to leave, or I'm not satisfied within my job. It doesn't really matter who, what, when, who. I just hold that like a coconut. I just imagine staring at a coconut. That's all that it is. And eventually, that coconut literally will become as hard as a rock and eventually turns into dust. So if I were just to contemplate the one image or the one thought or the one feeling or the one emotion or the one aspect of my life and just hold my focus and hold my focus and hold my focus, eventually through time as I meditate consistently and regularly, I get this epiphany of, ah, at that moment I can change my relationship, or I'm no longer stuck in my job, Or I am no longer an enabler to my son or my daughter or my wife. In a sense, I need to burn away my inability of seeing the greater picture. So as a human being, we recreate the same experiences over and over and over because these experiences are a collective makeup of what we've experienced in our childhood. Also, this also means the ego. So the ego doesn't want change and doesn't want change, doesn't like change. The ego will go through whatever extremes it will need to keep things exactly as they are. So if the ego is in control, yet we think we're making conscious choices, but we recreate the same disappointment, then it is my ego that would like to see, and as strange as it sounds, it is easier to see the same thing happen because we are creatures of habit than to create the change because we fear the unknown. And 2008 is about the fear breaking away and finding the courage to accept the unknown. So 2008 is about the death of the ego. So when I contemplate something, is I hold it as steady as a coconut or a walnut.
So would that be like taking a quality like happiness and focusing happiness as that coconut?
Correct.
And so just taking that thought and continuously focusing your all your energy on that and how that may make us feel and how that, like, so it takes it to a point, not intellectual, but where it brings us into a deeper awareness or a deeper understanding of that one quality.
It is born from within.
Right.
Happiness isn't something we get, it's something that we earn.
Yeah.
So when you find a person who has a great heart, it is because he has just concentrated, or she, only on his heart. And their heart has actually... But you see, happiness is because we fear change. And so therefore, we would rather be dissatisfied or unhappy or an enabler than to face the unknown. There was a man that was afraid that he was going to leave his wife because if he would leave his wife, she would kill herself. The unknown, the fear. And one day he came home and his house got cleared out and she left with a younger man. So she said, you know, here this man said, but here I feared all my life that she would kill herself. And yet she packed up everything, cleaned my clock. So in a sense, was it his fear because he didn't want change? Or was his wife really going to kill himself? He or she was never going to kill herself.
Yeah.
But he blackmailed her to believe because human beings fear change. We would rather be, if Big Brother says we are at war, follow that lead than to say this is wrong. So we fear individuality because we are taught that we must get along with our neighbors. And of course we need to get along with our neighbors. But we are taught in the sense that we should behave accordingly instead of having individual thoughts, individual emotions. And so through centuries have we altered our behavioral patterns and what we've accepted because we've changed as a culture. So at one particular point, there used to be a great saying that it says it takes a village to raise a child. Where is the village? Now it's you're on your own, you survive on your own. So our instinctual habits have changed. So let's go back to the ego.
Yes. So that brings us to one of our first questions. And I do want to thank everybody for sending questions. And I do appreciate that people had personal questions. And I just want to acknowledge that there were some personal questions, but this really is an event where it's more global. So we're going to keep to more global questions. But, you know, the death of the ego, and it's coming up more and more. And I guess my question is, you know, the death of the ego is at the first stages of enlightenment. And why is it coming up so much right now? And how is 2008, as you are bringing up, how is it bringing that
into... So this all goes back to the reptile brain.
Okay.
So when we look at the reptile brain and we look at the instinctive aspect of the reptile of the brain, if we go back to centuries back and the actual real unique design of the reptile brain, one could certainly say that the reptile brain was a very instinctual, very primitive, very reptilian, because it looks like a reptile. So in a sense, it's a part of the brain that, hey, it protects our village, it protects our people, we speak out. We don't say, well, it's not polite to speak, you know, with food in our mouth and get off my table. You know, so in a sense, we want to certainly hope that we have evolved as a culture. So what has happened is that our instinctual sense of what is right and what is wrong, in a sense, as far as the reptile brain, has been altered and altered and altered through many years, through thousands of years. In some of the traditional cultures, these reptilian brains still function because they've not become a part of our modern culture. But our reptilian brain has been altered, and this is a very complex way to explain all of this. But so in a sense, we've gotten into materialism. We've gotten into social behavior. We've gotten into behaving accordingly. We've gotten into the poor, the middle class, the rich. We've divided everything. So in a sense, one could certainly say that our natural instinctual habitation as a human being has been altered dramatically. And then we get into materialism, and it establishes us who we are. What is so beautiful in certain countries is where people are still within their heart. So when you go to certain places like Puerto Vallarta or Mexico, there are individuals that have very little, yet they are truly within their heart, because their true natural reptilian brain isn't into the lower class, middle class. Would they like a refrigerator? Yes. But are they going to, in a sense, go to bed, you know, saying, I really, really want that refrigerator? No. Yet in North America, if we don't have the right jewelry, the right clothing, and the right car, and the right shoes, so has the way in which we behaved dramatically changed from our natural instinctual habitation? The answer is yes. Ego. So the ego has been created by consumerism, as strange as that sounds. Your ego has been certainly created by mankind, but you have been told what to think, what to eat, what happiness, what isn't happiness, what is convenient, how to pop that into the microwave, how to put that into. So in a sense, you have been informed by your grocery store, by everyone around you, what should be acceptable, what is normal, what isn't normal, how to behave and not to behave. And as much as everyone assumes they don't really fall for that, everyone has.
And so is that the collective unconsciousness?
That is correct.
Okay.
So what is happening is that individuals are beginning to simply say, why do I have that debit card? Who told me that I needed that debit card? Not because a debit card is wrong or a credit card. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. But is that basically why did I choose? Did I choose that? Did they choose that? Or did they inform me that I needed that and they created that for me for my best interest? Mm. So in a sense, we are continuously seduced by all kinds of products and materialism, and all kinds of, doesn't really matter what. And so 2008 is where people are basically questioning, I'm sorry, why do I have that? Why do I want that? And it is not because we're needing to give up credit cards. That's not the point. We're beginning to question, who am I? Where am I going? And what am I doing? As individuals, we are beginning to ask these three basic fundamental questions. That means the death of the ego. Now, consumerism, or your department stores, or your hardware stores, or your government, or your banks, are not the only ones who've created the ego, because that would be a very false statement to make. Right. But in reality, they've played onto your ego. They know exactly how to create the fear that if you don't have that overdraft, or if you don't have... So in a sense, we've become a society that are junkies. Junkie, we are continuously self-driven by junk. And that junk is also emotions by neural pathways in the brain. And so we are continuously self-medicating ourselves emotionally. We would rather feel guilty than feel great, because we don't know what it's like not to feel great. So by purchasing this set of genes, like, oh my God, that's so fantastic, that is a self-medication. Or having to rescue my children or my cat or my dog, where there's constantly drama. And so we've learned as a society that drama or the adrenaline, which basically are these neural pathways, that this is a normal way to live as a culture or as a society. We've learned to live by adrenaline, by drama, by fear. I'm sick, I'm not sick. I'm healthy, I'm not healthy. I'm sick, no, I'm not, I'm sick again. So in a sense, we're constantly confused. Are we healthy? Are we sick? Am I rich? Am I poor? Are these genes the right genes? Do I look fat in these genes? Don't I look fat in these genes? So in a sense, we've lost our way and we are continuously needing this injection, this adrenaline injection, on a regular basis, regardless if we realize that or not. 2008 is about coming to a realization. Who am I? Where am I going? And what am I doing? So in a sense, it means we are no longer interested in the same neural pathways or peptides as we have in previous years. This is a year where we're choosing for happiness to be the foundation, where we're no longer interested in the same type of self-emotional medication, the same kind of material medication, the same kind of adrenaline. So in a sense, people are not going to be interested in the same kind of products. People are not going to be interested in the same kind of war. People are not interested in how a government behaves in this manner any longer. They're expecting a government to behave differently. It means that many individuals on individual levels are going to become realized, in a sense, spiritually awaken. That why do I feel what I feel? Did I make that choice to feel this guilt or this shame or this adrenaline or becoming an enabler or becoming the caretaker? Or why is my life the way that it is? Or why is my government the way that it is? Why is my bank the way that it is? Why are my politicians acting out not on my behalf? People are beginning to gradually become unplugged and beginning to make individual choices of why. They don't need the same emotional fix. It is interesting that when a country goes at war, as the country goes at war, the first thing in which the country does, because they feel afraid that the entire fundamental value of a family, in a sense, is broken apart. The first thing in which they do, united we stand. So in an entire country, because of fear factor, because of these peptides, because of these neural pathways, the first thing that a country needs to do, united we stand. We believe in our government. And after a while, why does a government know that a country instinctively, the first thing that each family will do will hang out a flag and support their country? What happened to all the souls that died and the innocent souls that had nothing to do with this? Is this because that is a part of the reptile brain to unite and to survive? But is that also because we're no longer making choices or decisions that instinctively that is what we do? Absolutely. So what happens, does that mean that a country isn't going to unite? Absolutely. Will they unite with different social values? Yes, absolutely. So 2008 is the beginning. It is not where that we're not going to unite as a culture, but we're going to unite under different social values. And the ego needs to say, if we unite as a country, it must be all right by what our country is going through. If we unite as a nation, then that is what the ego gives us a false sense of security. So we have particular behavioral patterns. And these behavioral patterns, in a sense, are, you could certainly say, continuously introduced and reintroduced by our ego. So there's a great story about the great Vedas that speak about that the mind is a palace of mirrors, and that the ego or the mind projects onto us exactly what we want to see, exactly what we want to fear. So in a sense, sometimes it's easier to live in a dysfunctional life or in a dysfunctional relationship because we fear the change more if we did not live in that dysfunctional relationship. So the ego allows us and makes sure that we tolerate certain behaviors and addictions, because it is easier to maintain and to speak about the same complaints that we've had for life, for years, I should say, even lifetimes, than to create a change, because we fear, like this man who feared that his wife would die or kill himself, we fear because the ego makes us believe. Now, did this woman threaten her husband that she would kill her one day? Yes, because she knew exactly how her husband's ego worked. So are we continuously playing by a set of rules that are all based upon decisions instead of pro-action and pro-creation? 2008 is where we are making a choice and making decisions. So in a sense, it is the death of the ego, meaning that we are going to make steps moving forward where we dare to create a change, where we dare to make a difference, that we dare to make a difference in ourselves. And it's really not about facing the unknown. It is really facing ourselves. 2008 is where people get to know themselves and they allow aspects of their personality, aspects of their ego, which represented so much of their life, which they believe really supported them, that basic belief systems that really never supported them to begin with begin to gradually tear away, and that is called the ego, the death of the ego.
And how do I formulate this? So, I mean, you sort of mentioned that we've been becoming unplugged and that maybe that happened 3 years ago or the beginning of that started.
Yes, it started about 3 years ago.
Right. So that also is what is allowing the death of the ego to occur.
Absolutely. Now, as a society, obviously I've been speaking about this war a great deal because I don't believe in war. But has this war in every sense made individuals in some of the most remote little towns around the world begin to think, begin to contemplate? Are we standing in united in the country? Do I believe in this country? Or have I been fed a bunch of baloney? Or what do I believe in? What do I believe in? And so individuals are wanting to see certain value systems return. That's why I spoke about the new presidency of the United States, that there is not just a presidency coming into power, that there's someone that is going to come into power is really going to need, and certainly the Americans are going to require to see that there is a change within America that is for the better of what value system does the Americans believe in.
I think this leads nicely into your question.
We've got a question here about power,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about authentic power as mm-hmm. opposed to the power of money or mm-hmm. position, politics, or of force. And I think that a lot of us recognize when we've given away our power in the past, but what does it look like when we stand in our power, and what does it require of us to allow us to do this, to stand in our power?
A lot of tequila. All right. It's always interesting, you know, because a part of what we're speaking about is we're changing a part of our behavior. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, by stepping into your power, by saying absolutely no, or this isn't acceptable, feels wrong. So isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
What is wrong feels right. And what is right feels wrong. So in a sense, that is how much, as a culture, we've lost a deep sense of individuality. We have been taught that by church and by government very early on, if you look at the cultivation of our culture, If we look at the Catholic Church, if we look at the Church of England, we look at religions, we look at Judaism, if we look at all of our religion, how many wars really have started because of religion?
Most of them. Yeah.
Now, isn't that the most ridiculous and the most... We're talking about God and we're fighting in the name of God? Yeah. What the dickens does God have to do? So if we are fighting because of religion, does that not mean that the core constitution of our culture is wrong? If we are actually fighting in the name of God, if we are fighting in the name of... There is something wrong. It's always interesting, you know, to have watched the Catholic Church and the Church of England go at battle. And when you go to England and you go to these big churches, you've got all these great kings wondering why they didn't go to heaven. Because they thought if they would win the battles, they would be buried in these great mausoleums and they literally would be the kingdom of heaven, but they didn't really quite make it. That was a really disappointment. So our behavior, our instincts, we've been reprogrammed in 2008, is really about trying to step into our power, which sounds sort of strange because when we step in our power, it is about me instead of what is fundamentally, what is the foundation, what is the core of my person, what do I need? It is difficult to create change. If you look at a couple who divorces, it is very interested in what happens when a couple divorces. Because many people have this opinion, and a lot of people have that opinion. So a marriage is never really just about one or two people. It's also about the families and everyone surrounds it. And it's always interesting that no one really knows the details of what the marriage or the reasons why. And everybody's got an opinion. Mm-hmm. And yet, are any of them true? Probably none of them. Why? Because we need to make a judgment. It needs to fit within our ego. It needs to fit within our block. We need to come up with an excuse why he or she didn't take care of his wife or vice versa, because it's the way that we need to feel safe as a culture. We need to make a judgment or an assessment about something so that it fits within our comfort zone. As we talked about 2008, it's about the death of the ego is very much is where we are breaking out of this. So to answer your question, so we try to make a change. And change fundamentally feels indifferent, feels wrong, feels challenging, feels awkward. For some, they have this innate ability to dismiss the rest of the world. So in a sense, the world is there to cater to them. So when you look at someone who has succeeded very much in life, he can do whatever he wants, or he or she can do whatever they want. They don't keep any other human being remotely in consideration. They've learned that this kingdom is theirs and that's it. While others feel more that they are, in a sense, a servant and they must do the right thing. And so that is literally how. It's always very interesting when somebody of great wealth and great power goes towards a restaurant and everybody's in line and he walks right by, gets a seat, thinks nothing of everybody else waiting, gets a seat. Why? Because that is his belief system. Is he an arrogant son of a gun? Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he truly believes this restaurant was built just because of him. So we're talking about belief systems. And so when we try to step into our power, we're also, in a sense, needing to look at why would I fear this change, or why do I believe I don't deserve this? Why would I feel guilty making an app? So that requires meditation. That requires contemplation. And I'm not talking about where your mind goes, blah, 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 blah. It means you just hold the image of change and you just hold that. Spiritual merit isn't something that you get. It's something you have to earn. And there was a great commercial, and I think it was one of these running shoes that says, just do it. So in order to gain a strength where we can make stronger decisions, we can contemplate them certainly until the cows come home. But a part of what we need to learn is just do it. It means we certainly might make changes along the way, but a part of 2008 is about learning how to just do it. It means know what you want and do it. If you're looking for the strength, it isn't there because you haven't earned it. And if you want great change, it isn't going to be there because you haven't earned it. All things in life, we have to earn. And so there are times we just have to grab the bull by the horn and just do it. There are times where we have to make drastic changes and no longer wait for that moment where we feel that we have the strength or the constitution or we have the ability or we have the answer. Just do it. A great saint or a great teacher or a great guru has the ability to make thousands of decisions because he or she, they just do it. They don't think about it. They just do it. And yet, she or he walks into the restaurant, but they made reservations. They were just kinder. So when it comes to making changes and finding the courage or finding the change, not only do we need to contemplate the change by itself, I'm going to go back up for a moment. A great deal of the retreat in which Bart teaches in Puerto Vallarta this year is that an aspect of our brain, which I think is a part of your question. The brain has a hypothalamus, which is the center of the brain. It's the factory of the brain. And we are exercising only aspects of that brain. We are not accessing part of that brain that has strength and courage and aspects of the brain that is enlightenment. So when one speaks to a guru, why is that guru or that saint enlightened? Because he or she, in actuality, is utilized a part of a brain that the average person doesn't utilize. The average individual is only utilizing one part of the brain. And when I talked about consumerism and materialism and your grocery stores and everything, all that is one part of the brain. You're not utilizing aspects of your brain that thousands of years you originally were born with, let's say. And so when I walk into a room, that can just be a room, or I can literally say, this is a holy temple. So what does that mean? I don't want you going around in every room that you walk in pretending it's a holy temple because you're, you know, off your rocker, for heaven's sakes. But for someone that experiences unhappiness or depression for a very long time, they're not going to come out of depression because they're only activating one aspect of the hypothalamus that is producing these enzymes and peptides. And so that's all that part of the brain is producing. So a big part of the 2008 retreat in which Bart teaches, how do you activate? You know, people talk about, I've been meditating for years and I'm not going any further. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're not activating another part of the brain. Because you need to have great respect and great gratitude and great acknowledgement to get to a deeper aspect of the brain or a deeper aspect of meditation. So your question is really about, we're not utilizing an aspect of our brain as a culture because we become a culture that follows instead of a culture that thinks independently, operates independently, makes individual decisions. And so when we talked about 2008, yes, 2008 is going to have a lot of political upheaval. But the fundamental questions that people are going to ask in 2008, who am I? Where am I going? And what am I doing? And these three individual questions are in aspects of the brain that the hypothalamus normally doesn't get to. Mm. So as much as we as an individual make decisions, only 99%, or I should say 99% of our decisions are all unconscious. 1% is completely conscious. So what is happening in 2008, people are going to bring much more of these unconscious behaviors to the consciousness, and people are going to utilize more of an aspect of the brain, which is called the hypothalamus, more than they ever have before. Who am I? Where am I going? And what am I doing? And these three basic questions, even though they might be questions in which they ask over and over, they're going to open up many doors where previously they never even contemplated. So we're talking about that 2008, people are beginning to spiritually awaken and beginning to utilize a part of their brain, their hypothalamus, because they are no longer satisfied in feeling depleted or depressed or unhappiness, because you are stuck as a culture in only utilizing a part of your brain. And 2008 is really about utilizing more of who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? And that is a part of the brain that seldomly is used. During the intensive, I think, of last year, people would walk into this room. And the room, or I should say the room at the Sheraton, and everyone felt that it became a temple. Why? Because everyone made a very small shift and began to realize it wasn't just a room. A room is never a room. It is a holy temple. And when a group collectively goes through that experience, then all of a sudden what ends up happening is the entire room changed. So people are going to regain their spiritual magnificence. Instead of being ordinary, people in 2008 are going to experience the extraordinary aspect of the brain. And that is not just a matter of false thinking. With other words, I'm Peter Pan, I'm Peter Pan. You'll never be Peter Pan, and you'll never become Peter Pan. And that is not a matter of I love, I love, I love, because how long can you keep up I love, I love, I love, I love, because eventually go, oh, shut up. But when we develop a great heart, and it really starts within the heart, when we really plant the right seeds within the heart will spiritually grow and we will earn that spiritual merit. And that's why I spoke about the heart is the hub of the universe. Plant the seeds of change you want. Know what you're looking for. If you don't know where you're going, put the question within your heart. If you don't know what you want, put that within your heart. And so, who am I? Put that within your heart. Because when you plant those basic seeds, you might not get the answer today, but your heart will become an orchard. So the way that a culture thinks, believes, or behaves, or has operated socially or culturally, people in 2008 are going to notice a death within themselves. And that death at times can feel like fear or scared or depression, because people fear. We fear change. 2008 is about the ending of a behavior as a culture where people are going to stick up together as a nation, for a nation, not because your government went to war, because people are returning back to the fundamental values of compassion and right action. Now, does that include there's going to be much corruption in government? Oh, wait, your entertainment on television is going to be fantastic this year, I guarantee you. It's better than any nonsense that anybody could make up. If who has slept with who, what, when, I can tell you they've done it. Illegal arms, I'm telling you, they're going to get caught. That will be on the news. So the news, in a sense, no one really can take the news seriously any longer, because the news really isn't the news. Yeah. The news is a prefabricated, how do we create fear into our culture? And I think basically people are going to look at the media more as entertainment or bad entertainment as any factual news editing of any kind whatsoever.
Whomever you're only going to get the truth on Intuitive Absolutely. Soul Radio.
Absolutely. I will tell you, if somebody hasn't come out of the closet, they will this year. If someone has not done the right thing, it will come out this year. If someone has cheated, it will come out. This year is about, Lord only knows, if your underwear isn't on straight, it will literally come ripping off, I guarantee you. Because when you're dealing with a 10, you're dealing with right action. Uh-huh. And right action means is that there is a great fundamental move within our culture, within our society, of uniting, of consciousness, of growth, of right action, of speaking up and speaking out and speaking the truth. And those who truly try to jam their garbage down people's throats really are going to be told to shut up and sit down. Politically, I think it's going to be a bit of a nightmare. I certainly hope that the ongoing pushing of going to war with China is not going to occur, because the United States is trying to get into war with China. And I certainly hope that that is not something that is going to happen, because it is something that they have been trying to push for a very long time. I think most Americans are completely unaware of what that would literally mean to their country. And so I certainly hope that Americans overall awaken that war is not the answer, and that if the United States or the government tries to push for this, that this basically don't believe your government. And that literally means that question what you see and what you hear. Just as you were told that you were at war with Saddam Hussein, that in actuality was not true whatsoever. But it is also a time where people are going to take responsibility for their consumption. And so 2008 is all about renewable energy. It's about renewable energy within homes, within cars. So in a sense, as much as there are many upheavals politically, many upheavals within the American dollar, many upheavals within the stock market, certainly this will all be reality. But we don't change unless we're forced to change. We don't contemplate unless we're forced to contemplate. So as much as there is merry positive, the US dollar is going to fluctuate like a yo-yo in 2008. And I certainly would have to say that that is becoming quite predominant. I think certainly in Pakistan, there is going to be much trouble that hasn't even begun at this particular point. And they're going to have to awaken as a culture as well, how they're going to behave and act as far as the rest of the world. So I think, and overall, there are going to be a lot of countries that are really going to have to question their overall behavior as a culture and as a society in how they choose to play politics. So with other words, I think it's really we're a time where our culture is coming together and where we are keeping our governments and our politicians gradually more responsible for the misinformation in which they provide, and most of all, how we choose to be a part of a country. And it's not a matter of, you know, it's not a matter of what can the country do for me, but what can I do for the country? I think it is not just a matter of what can you do for your country. It's a matter of what does my government do for my country? So political. Isn't it?
I know. What happened?
People, human beings in overall have an extraordinary existence. Of course, that's all you know, but you live all a very privileged life. And we want to believe in the father figure. We want to believe, that's why Hitler had such power. We want to believe. But if we got into the father figure that George Bush has become, then we are in deep trouble. Because that is not yet we all fall for it. So as a culture, we have fallen for the father figure because we believe that we are separate from God. In actuality, we are not separate from God. That God dwells within us. God doesn't dwell without. God is not on a cross, but God is within. Amen. And people are going to realize this more and more in 2008. People are going to realize that they are extraordinary. And their voice does matter. And 2008 is about a profound spiritual movement that leads all the way down to 2012. And that is about people spiritually awakening and realizing that they are not separate and that they're not abandoned and that they are their own father figure and that they are their own mother and that God isn't outside on the cross, but God dwells within us. It is where people realize that people have the opportunity, I should say, to discover the inner self, which truly can only be experienced through meditation. But it's activating a part of our brain that really says, if I am God and God dwells within me, why don't I see that? But if we have ordinary thoughts and ordinary lives, how can we see something that is that extraordinary within ourselves because we couldn't see it? You know, it is just a matter of, if we've never seen something, we cannot imagine it. You know, there's a great story about the shamans, that one could see the ripples of the water, but no one could see the ship because all these great shamans on an island had never seen a ship before. Mm-hmm. And it took such a long time until one could finally see the ship because his brain needed to imagine it. If I were to say that God dwells within you, has your faith so deteriorated that you can't even imagine what God would be like? And if God dwells within you, what would that be like? If a great saint resided within you, what would that feel like? How would that match how your life is lived? If we all believed in God so truly, and I don't mean God on the cross, but we all pray, so what has happened to our faith? So truly the entire 2008 is about faith. It is about the reawakening of the Christ consciousness. That sounds like a very big undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
It really means people experiencing glimmers of themselves within themselves. And when we see the glimmer of ourselves and we see a glimmer of hope, when we truly see the uniqueness, the power, the divinity in which we've been created from, imagine what an extraordinary world this would be. But if we only allow our outer emotions to be our reality and dictate that this is reality, then how could I imagine that there is this brilliance that lies within me? So as a society, we need to stop looking outwardly and start paying attention inwardly. And so what's happened is we paid so much attention to the drama, to the emotions, to the addictions, to the feelings, to the rescuing, to the relationships. We paid so much attention to everything that is outwardly. We've been brought so far away from what lies within inside of us that people 2008 are going to find their way back to where they truly reside. And that is within the inner self. So 2008 is all about, but if I come from fear, if I fear fear, if I fear change, if I don't know how to stop changes or behaviors in relationships or children or jobs, then how could I possibly see the extraordinary self within me? And a lot has to do with astrology and about timing. And so I think, and overall, very often, we need to experience things to an extreme before we say, this is not what we want anymore. We have several generations that have experienced war. We've got our grandparents, our parents, and we are experiencing war. As much as we're sitting within the country, everything appears to be fine, but there is a country where thousands of American soldiers are dying and Canadian soldiers are dying and soldiers from around the world. So we are a country at war. We have three generations. And so very often, it takes quite a while before a culture actually comes to a realization. To what degree do we allow ourselves to be depleted to where we say this is no longer acceptable? Where do we stand up and say there must be something greater? I haven't found it, but I'm going to find it. That determination, that faith, that courage, that strength, that is where you're going to find the brilliance of the inner self. So where am I going? What are you doing? Find these answers within, because when you begin to contemplate basic things within life, relationships, anything, you begin to awaken and return the passage to the inner self. And as much as we have three generations of war, our grandparents, our parents, and your generation, as much as you're not in war in a sense by fighting, but you are directly a part of a world that is at war. And so it takes extreme measures for extreme changes. And culturally, people are ready for extreme changes, but not extreme changes in the sense for any further upheaval, but further to return that the mind is a temple, the mind. If we have ordinary thoughts, we will have ordinary experiences. We've allowed our mind to become a garbage can. And our mind is meant to be a holy place. So why is it that we have ordinary experiences? Because our mind has become a garbage can. Emotions are things we're supposed to keep company with. These emotions are not supposed to be owned by us. So we say, I am not happy. I don't feel right. We have begun to express emotions almost that we own these emotions. Emotions are only there to keep us company. So people have become so forthright in, I'm not happy, and that doesn't satisfy me, and that's wrong, and I don't want that. Well, we can certainly express ourselves, but be careful what you say, because your emotions should only keep you company. Your emotions should not own you. And so a big part of 2008 is where people will realize that their mind is meant to be a holy place, a place of great comfort, not a place of great fear. And so people are going to find themselves questioning, if I live in this world and I have such tragedy with my son, or such tragedy with my daughter, or such tragedy with my job, or such tragedy, whatever it is that I'm experiencing, what trauma am I reoccurring over and over? Am I buying into fears that are not really, really, truly there to begin with? Have I bought into all kinds of concepts and nonsense that aren't really real to begin with? What is really real in my life? And if you want great happiness, then you need to be in pursuit of. And you're going to find that in 2008, people are going to be in pursuit, not just of change, but in pursuit of peace and quiet and happiness.
Dr. Williams, I must say, I certainly hope that we can hold this vision and allow this incredible possibility to come forth. And I must say, I thank you very much for your time this evening, because it's been quite an honor and a blessing. Mm. And we do have a statement of gratitude from Miranda Reeves, which is that she would like to express her profound gratitude to Bart and to Dr. Williams for their many hours spent together and apart, devoted to the further development of our spiritual enlightenment. We all feel so blessed that these two entities are in our lives. Bart is an inspiring and great teacher. To attend his workshops and meditation retreat is to be in the constant state of learning and spiritual upliftment. I offer my heartfelt thanks for the gifts they give.
Isn't that lovely? She's going to get a great brownie cookie.
So I just want to let people know that they can go to Bart Smith. So it's bart-smith.com. Mm. And there is a wealth of information and great tools that people can acknowledge and to grow within themselves and to learn more about this journey that we're on. And again, I thank you from a very heartfelt place for the wonder
My pleasure.
That you've given us.
God bless you.
And you.
All right.